Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to the Spirit Alive Network, your global transformation station. Oh, hallelujah, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to Sister for this Wednesday, hallelujah, March 24th, 2021. Now, I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm here with my lovely sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott. And as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you please bow as Evangelist Michelle takes us to the throne of grace. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. May we all bow our heads. Moment of prayer. Oh, most gracious and loving God, I come before your throne of grace to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done in our lives thus far and everything that you plan to do in our lives. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to stand in the gap for those who aren't able to pray for themselves right now for whatever reason. Lord God, thank you for the very breath that flows through our bodies and the activity that we have of our limbs. Lord, we thank you for our family, friends, and loved ones who are just on emotional roller coasters right now, Father God, with all the things that are going on in the world. Lord, I ask that you put a calming spirit, not over our families here at Spirit Alive, but over all the families and people of the world, Lord God. I ask that you just touch them all and bring calmness, bring a calming spirit about them, Father God. For we know that so many are going through so many things. But Father God, I ask that you bless the mighty woman of this assembly, Bishop Cook. I ask that you bless me, Father God. I ask
yes,
that you bless the message that we are about to bring to your people, Lord God. For we want everything to be pleasing unto you. Lord
yes.
God, I ask that all the listeners, that they be blessed and be blessed by the message in which we bring, Lord God. They might get something out of it that might cause someone to say, what must I do to be saved? Oh, Father God, we just want people to realize that when you cut us, we all have blood that's the same color. Deep down inside, we're all the same on the inside. There's just differences on the outside. But, Father God, you look beyond our differences, and you love us for just who we are. We're your children, and you love us, Lord God, and we thank you for that. You love us when we're right, and you love us when we're wrong. And you gave us a way to come to you and to repent of all of our sins. And we just thank you, Lord God. I ask that you bless all the homeless, those without
yes,
homes,
Lord.
Father God, shelter them. Father God, bless those without food. Father God, feed them from manna on high. Father God, those without vision, give them vision. Give them a vision
yes.
from you, Father God, that they might do your will and live in your way, Lord God, and not their own way. Father God, for we know that if we live by your way, we're living the right way. The way we were
yes.
before is no more. The way we are now is the right way, Lord God, and we thank you for it, Father God. Bless our nation and the capital, Father God, and all those people that are working there, help them to all be on one accord, Father God, and
yes.
to give and do for the people and not take from the people, Father God. We just ask that you just cover us all here while we're down here, Father God, and help us to be better us. Father God, you're our eternal Father, and we just thank you for being there in good times and in bad. I just love you and lift you up in Jesus' name right now and all of his people. Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, saints of God, we're coming before you tonight because, you know, we like to keep you informed on what is going on around us. And I have had Evangelist Michelle and I have really been concerned about what we've been seeing with the healthcare industry. Yes, sir. You see, doctors, before they see their first patient, they make a vow. They say an oath to first do no harm. But as we look at our healthcare system today, we can truly say that for some, we feel like they have forgotten that oath that they have taken. So tonight we're going to talk to you about the ethical issues that arise when healthcare systems choose profit over patients. Amen. It's we really need to know what's going on, because the Word of God tells us in the book of Ephesians, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities. And our health care system is one of the biggest principalities that we must deal with. And as we continue to look at what's happening there, we see that for-profit hospitals, investor-owned hospitals, are increasing. They're almost double, while the number of independent proprietary hospitals have declined, and county hospitals and clinics are closing. This arises many observations and criticisms. And tonight I want to break down six of them for us, because I want you to be made aware, and so that you can protect yourself, so that you will understand what is truly going on, and that you, when you go in to deal with healthcare facilities, you will be more informed. So when we start seeing hospitals, healthcare systems move from caring about people to caring about profits, one of the first things that they do, it does, is it exacerbates the problem for everybody to get access to health care. You know, straightforward, it does. Do you know that there are 22 to 25 million Americans that still have no health coverage, either through private insurance or government programs, including Medicare, Medicaid, and the Veterans Administration? There's another 20 million that we have coverage, but it's inadequate. How many of you have paid hundreds and hundreds of dollars, into your insurance at work, only to find out that when you use it, it doesn't really work for much? So the change, when they change from caring about people to profit, it exacerbates the already serious problem in two ways. One, they don't care about non-paying patients. They do not care about those that cannot afford to provide with them when you get insurance. So what they do is, they drive up the competition, and so these public hospitals or county hospitals, what they do is that they use a process called cross-subsidization. And what that means is they charge more for the people that, to the people that can pay, so that they can take care of those that cannot. That's one of the main ways that they take care of indigent care. But when we move from caring about patients to profits, what they do is they skim the cream of the crop. What that means is they only go after the attractive segment of the patient population. Okay? They're only going to go after those that have deep pockets and a whole lot of insurance. They are not going to be interested in taking care of subsidized care patients or non-paying patients. Secondly, as we see these hospitals move from patient caring about patients to profit, we will see that they tend to push higher procedures and things that will generate higher revenues to those of us that are elderly. They want to dig deep into the pocket of Medicare. So they will charge exorbitant amounts for MRIs, for CAT scans, for lab work, for different things. And, you know, so they are making it hard for these subsidized programs to keep up, because prices of everything is going up. And Big Pharma, they're also putting in their 2 cents worth. So we see that the first thing that they do, when we move from profit, from patients to profit, all of a sudden we can't be seen. There are fewer appointments for people who are on Medicare. There are fewer follow-up appointments. When you go into the hospital, you are not kept for any amount of time. You know, when you go in, many times you could be hurting. I don't care what kind of pain you're in. The first thing that they want to know is who's going to pay for it. And depending on your answer or what kind of insurance you have, it will determine the quality of service that you receive. The other thing that happens when hospitals and healthcare providers start moving from patients to profits is they do make the competition unfair. You know, if you are seeing only the rich patients, okay, and you are only doing these expensive procedures, then you drive the price of everybody else's cost. So a lot of times our insurances will no longer be able to cover certain procedures because they're just simply too expensive. The other thing we see when healthcare facilities move from patient to profit is they treat it as if it's a commodity. Healthcare is a commodity to be bought and sold rather than it being a right for every citizen. We're told that healthcare is not a commodity, but they treat it as though it is a commodity. You know, they treat it as though, you know, they base it on our ability to pay, not what's going on with us. So we get left out of the loop when it comes to things that we may really need. We're not able to get because we can't afford them. Our subsidies can't afford them. And they just say, well, you know, if they can afford it, fine. If they can't, fine. But that's not the way we roll around here. We have a moral obligation. We have a duty to take care of all people. They have a duty to take care of all people. You made a vow. You made an oath. You stood and you said, I will do no harm. I will uphold my teaching. I will treat anybody. I will treat the sick. I will treat cancer. I will, you know, I will consult my colleagues. I will do whatever is necessary for me to give my patients the best care that I can give them. But we don't see that today. More and more, if you're not proactive in your health care, they'll be looking at you like, what's wrong with you? Well, I don't know what's wrong with me. You're the doctor. That's why I'm here. So, you know, poor folks, folks like us, every working day, you know, folks that are retired, blue-collar workers, everyday workers, they're being priced right out of health care. And then what we might not understand, too, is as state hospitals, county hospitals, nonprofit hospitals close, then the folks that are for profit get to undermine the medical education. See, a lot of these hospitals, county hospitals, they are teaching hospitals. So a lot of our doctors get to go there and learn, and they get to do their internships there. But if they're closing, then those doctors, those interns, those residents who might come from
lower income neighborhoods that come from, that don't live on the right side of the tracks, they're now knocked out of medical school. So, again, we must look at the fact that when they change, when they begin to look at us as profit instead of patients, it seems that they have began to worry less about actually healing us, and they are more concerned about keeping us going in this loop with one test, one medication, one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. They prescribe us medications that take two or three other medications just to offset the side effects of the first medication. They're no longer interested in healing us. That's how come we have to look to God as our true healer. Yes, we need to use wisdom if we're sick and we have insurance, by all means. We need to go to the doctor. But we have to truly trust God, Jehovah Rapha, the divine healer. Because, you see, when he heals us through and through. And even if he doesn't remove that thorn from our side, he still gives us grace that is sufficient. He still helps us, gives us the strength to climb. The song says, Lord, you don't have to move the mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. Well, with so many things going on with this pandemic, we've seen it systematically. There are neighborhoods, there are urban communities, there are barrios that still have not had the COVID-19 testing, let alone the vaccine. There are areas where people do not have access to masks, to hand sanitizers, to the very basic things that they're telling us we need. When this pandemic began, you could get you going to almost any little dollar store, any little store, and you could get a bottle of hand sanitizer for a dollar. I mean a big bottle. But now that same hand sanitizer is almost $4. And you're saying, well, what does that have to do with healthcare, everything? Because, see, doctors, big pharma, they run the gambit on the pricing. And, see, they're the ones that go to Washington, and then they lobby in Washington for certain principles and practices to be put in place. But see, when they do that, what they're actually doing is they are eroding our confidence in them. See, healthcare is about our faith or our perception in them to take care of us. Well, some of them are falling down on their job. You know, they put us through a whole lot of unnecessary things. Some are, or they're not giving us what we need. The tests that we need to be taking, we're not offered. The tests that we don't need, that's what they want us to do. Saints of God, we got to pay attention. You know, we've got to know and understand if we're not concerned about our health, if we're not paying attention, they are going to run all over us. And the reason I'm talking to you about the ethical things that they're doing is because this is what we need to be praying for. Just because we understand that they are a principality does not mean that we're just supposed to throw up our hands and go, oh, well, they're always going to be evil. Nah. We got to deal with these issues. We've got to start praying that they begin to care about the patient, that they are not allowed to continue on this pattern of profit over patients. We have to pray about our physicians, our nurses, our doc, you know, all of it, our technicians, our phlebotomists, everybody. We have to keep them lifted up in prayer. We have to pray for the American Medical Board and medical boards all over the world, that they will not allow people to run roughshod over the nonprofits and those that take care of those of us that don't always have the means to take care of ourselves. These are things that we need to address with God. Because remember, the government, everything sits up on his shoulders. Everything. So we need to be talking to him about what the government needs to do to make sure that everyone has health care. We need to be talking to Father about what we need to do to make sure that they do what they need to do to make sure that we all have health care. You know, because, see, they're up here worrying about profits without any idea of what it does to the mental, emotional, and spiritual psyche of a human being when you are at your lowest point, when you are sick or your child is sick and you take them to the doctor only to be told you can't be seen here, or only to be told that the medication that your child needs, you can't afford to buy. What does that do to a mother? What does that do to a person that it has pain in their body and they've gone to the doctor time and time and time and time again, but yet the doctors say, oh, we can't find it. We don't understand. Oh, well, it's probably just in your head. Saints of God, we've got to start calling these people on the carpet. We've got to start questioning these doctors when we go up. Do I really need this? What is this really going to do? Do I really need this medication? What is it really going to do? Do I really need this procedure? See, because basically what they do is they have us over a barrel. If we were doctors, we could practice medicine on ourselves. But because we're not doctors, we got to go to them to find out what's going on. And so when they don't tell us anything, you know, they can pass us around in a loop for years. Years. All because they don't know who going to pay for it. That's a shame. When you're sick in your body or you're sick in your mind and you can't get help because you don't have the right insurance. But all the while, you got to watch other people that have the means to get anything that they need. They're just getting carte blanche. What does that say to people? And we as servant leaders, we need to start dealing with it because people are angry. They're angry about, as our sister prayed, they're angry about everything. So we need to be responsible for ourselves and to ourselves, and we need to do our due diligence when it comes to health care. We need, I say to all of our beautiful, saved, sanctified, and silver saints, do make sure that you are getting all the benefits that you qualify for, because if you do not ask, they will not tell you. If you are a widow or a widower, and your spouse was collecting Social Security benefits, you make sure that you have applied for those benefits and that you are getting a portion of those benefits, because that will help you with your medical care. Amen. So I just, you know, tonight I just wanted to have a dialogue about this healthcare system. I know that many of the servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, they have had some experiences with the healthcare system. They have seen it firsthand. I know that I walked around myself, saints of God, I lie to you not. In 1996, I was hit by a car in Crosswalk. They put a titanium rod in my leg. The rod was too small. And for over 20 years, I was going to the doctor saying there's something wrong with this rod in my leg. It doesn't feel right. I'm still swollen. I'm still hurting. But you see, I didn't have any Social Security. I did a lot. Sometimes there were times when I didn't have insurance because the job I was on didn't offer insurance. But the moment, saints, the moment they would take an x-ray of my leg and they would tell me, oh, your leg is fine. But the moment that I was eligible for Social Security, and I now receive Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera, an MRI was done to find out that my rod had slipped and was literally coming out the bottom of my foot. Now, had that MRI been done when it should have been done 20 years earlier, all I can do is think about the pain I could have been spared. I also found out once I got my MRIs a rolling, once they found out I had Medicare, they was taking MRIs right and left. They also found out that I had two very severely torn rotator cuffs that were torn at the time of the accident. But because no one ever bothered to do an MRI, they'd just been torn all that time. So I know firsthand that hospitals have been moving from caring for patients to profit. But I want you to know why they're doing it. They're trying to get as much money from us as possible, and they want to give us the least services possible, and they're making it harder and harder and harder for subsidy programs to keep up. So, in essence, we're sick, but what do we do? Now, that's a question we're gonna talk about. I want to open this up now. I'm going to shoot it over to our wonderful Christian reporter in the street, Evangelist Michelle Scott, and then we're going to open it up to all of you. Let's talk about this thing.
Thank you, Bishop. When you're of color, a lot of times when you're of color and you go into doctor's office, usually for the first time, you're a new patient, you know, you can feel the thickness in the air. They look at you differently. They talk to you differently. They treat you differently. But we're all patients. We're all, like my sister said, we have appointments. We go in there. We either paying our money or we have our insurance. And we should all be given the same treatment. Doctors and nurses, they are. First, do no harm. And this is harm. Even though they're not picking up a scalpel and cutting us or anything like that, they might as well be cutting parts because it's embarrassing whether a person of color wanted to admit it or not when you're the only one of color in a room and you have a young person behind the desk who's supposed to be greeting you. You're the receptionist, so you're supposed to receive people into the office, and they're rolling their eyes and they're twitching around in the seat, and you're telling them your name. ignoring you and things of this nature, which is all very unprofessional. But you saw them talking to a Caucasian person before you, and they were so nice. And you see on the outside, we can always be fooled because of a person's outward appearance, but it's what's stirring in the inside of the person that we need to really listen for. When they hang up that phone and you're doing everything in your power to be nice, bridle your tongue, so that you don't step down to their level. You're saying your yes ma'ams or no ma'am, depending on how, you know, the age or how you speak. You're being kind to them. You're using kind hand gestures and things of this nature. But whatever you do, whatever you say, it doesn't matter how polite. This person has a vendetta against your skin color. No, my people, it's nothing that you have done. God has created you beautifully the color that you are. It's not you, it's the individual that you're talking to. If you can, no matter how hard it gets, continue to keep speaking to them in love. I, like my sister Bishop, have encountered so many nurses and doctors just recently who behaved in this manner. And if you really find yourself with a doctor that doesn't want to treat you as you should be treated, with respect for one thing and kindness, then you know you can call the medical board and you can report them. Just as she was talking about them taking x-rays and these things of her and saying they couldn't find nothing, but oh, as soon as she got the Medicare, they see everything.
Yeah.
Just went through this with my mother the other day when we took her to the hospital. One facility said they couldn't see anything, but another one sees everything. Okay, somebody's playing with our health, and it's not fair. We as a people,
amen,
we as a people of color, we need to stand up and say we have a right to have quality.
To be here.
Live in the richest country in the world, and you mean to tell me that we cannot have health care for all? Those numbers that spread out were preposterous, that those many people still don't have health care. It doesn't make any sense when you have other countries and nobody is without health care. But here
Come
you
on.
Have the wealthiest country in this world, and we have babies dying because they couldn't get their first shot. We have
Come
people
on.
Laying out on the street being found dead because they hadn't been to doctors in years, not because they didn't want to go to a doctor, but because they were afraid. They knew that they would be turned away for a lack of insurance. And as my sister said, that is the first thing they want to know. What type of insurance do you need? Or do you have cash money to pay for it? There was a time when I was in my 20s, they would at least have a section in the hospital where you could go and get some type of general assistance or some type of emergency care. I've never heard them call a person to the side. In all these past 8 years I've lived where I'm at now, have I heard of someone be called over to the side? I've seen many homeless people come in there without. We talked to them, and they said they came anyway just to see if they would help them because they was in so much pain. Sometimes they were just turned away right at the door, but they wouldn't even let them in because the stench. Justin may not smell to your fancy. It doesn't mean they don't have a Medicare or a Medi-Cal card in their pocket. You cannot
Amen.
Put a person out because they don't smell good enough for you. If they have a Medicare or a Medi-Cal or partnership or whatever kind of insurance their state has out, they're supposed to be seen and not disrespected and treated any differently. But you find these days that it's very hard. Now, parents, we need to teach our children from early on that when something is ailing in their body, they are to come to you. Don't come like some kids, oh, every day my stomach hurts, because they don't want to go to school. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do that, because that's like the little boy crying wolf. But if they have aches and pains, they need to know that doctors are supposed to treat them with respect and kindness. They need to know good touch, bad touch. In the state of California, in all states actually, there is supposed to be a female in the office with a doctor if he's in the room with a female or a child, a little girl, to make sure that things are done properly when he's examining her. Your children need to know this, because they would allow a doctor to go in the room with them and do whatever, and the child will think that it's okay. Why? Because they feel that the person is important, because they're a doctor. They have power. So we have to let our children know that they have power too. They have the power to say, no, I don't want you to talk to me like this. And no, you cannot and you will not treat me this way. I guarantee you, if you instill this in your children now, it will go on with them for the rest of their days, and they will transfer it on to their children. I thank
Amen.
You for listening to me today, and God bless you all.
Amen. Yes, ma'am. We have to do our due diligence. And, you know, yes, we are mostly African Americans here, but this is happening systematically to poor people in general, you know, and we want you to understand something. Yes, this affects people of color more than any other group, but there are many of us that are affected by this. But the thing that irritates me, being an African-American woman, when I go in to see a doctor, is the assumption that the only reason I am there is to procure for myself some opiates of some kind. I want a pill.
Yeah.
Doctors, if any of you doctors are listening, let me just explain something to you on behalf of the African-American community. When we are sick, we want to know what's wrong with us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us don't want, oh, we're not coming in there for your opiates. We know that opiates kill. Why would we want you to ply us full of opiates? I'm over 60 years old. Why would I want to wait till I'm over 60 years old to become a junkie to opiates? That is inexcusable. That is unethical, it's immoral, and it's unacceptable. Every human being, you as a doctor, as a physician, as a nurse, you have made an oath to find out what is wrong with that patient. You cannot just assume we are in there to get a pill. You cannot assume that we are all junkies, just looking for an easy fix. That is discriminatory. That is inflammatory.
Mm.
And we don't appreciate it.
My Lord.
We do not appreciate it. We don't appreciate you telling us our child to go out of something, when we just heard in the next room you tell another mother you're going through a whole regimen of things you're going to do, and they're supposed to be going through the same ailment.
Mm.
It makes us angry. Nothing is worse than being in pain, being sick in your body, and you can't get help. And even when you have insurance sometimes, you still don't get help.
Amen.
Because they're more concerned about profit than patients. So I'm going to go ahead and open this. I'm going to open the lines up now to my family and friends. If you have a comment, you want to get your, you know, you want to put your input into the mix, press your 1, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number, because, you know, we need to talk about this. It's getting worse and worse. And these healthcare systems are affecting the 2 groups that need them the most, our children and our elderly. Those are the 2 groups that they hit the hardest. So we just want to open it up. Okay, I see that Mother Mattie Scott, she's already done pressed her 1, so we're going to go ahead and listen to her. I mean, Mother Givens. Go ahead, Mother Marion Givens. Good evening, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Oh, I see. Amen. Let me get this going. And then we'll go to Mother Mattie Scott. Amen.
Amen.
There were wonderful comments. Hello?
Yes, we hear you, Mother.
Yes, those were beautiful comments. And I like to just say, at my age, whenever I go to the doctor, I'm so blessed to have the doctor that I've had for years, and she's Black, and I love her. I have all the confidence in the world of her. But if there's something that is still happening that I don't think she has addressed, I will continuously ask questions or even ask that I get a second opinion, because you know your body, or your body knows you better than you know yourself, and you know when something is wrong. So we need to, if we can't do it for ourselves, take someone in with you, ask questions. Write down whatever you need to ask the doctor before you go, so you won't forget and say, oh, I should have done this, or I should have asked that. And I don't believe in taking all these pills. I only take the necessary pills and nothing else. So we have to be careful what they want to give to you. And
yes, ma'am.
Be smart enough or brave enough and take it to God first. Whenever I go,
yes,
I just ask God to make sure that everything is going to come out all right for me. And God bless me at 92 years old. I just feel if it weren't for arthritis, I'd be jumping high in the sky. So
hallelujah.
I'm just so blessed that I've come this far by faith and by the helpfulness or the happiness from my prayers and my doctors and my family and friends. So thank you for listening.
Amen. Thank you, Mother Givens, for giving us that beautiful comment. Now we're going to go to Mother Mattie Scott. These beautiful ladies are coming to us from Good Shepherd in Oakland, California, and we just love them over here at Spirit Alive. And so we're just going to ask Mother Mattie to come on in the room now.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Good evening, Bishop Cook and Evangelist Michelle Scott, and hello to everyone at Spirit Alive, the Spirit Alive family. God bless you all. God bless you all. God bless Ms. Givens. She spoke very well, and I have to say, I enjoyed everything that she said, and it's so true. It's really sad. A person could be dying, bleeding to death. The first thing they want to know, you got insurance. And it's like, you know, it's really sad. And it's really sad everybody don't have health care. But people can say what they want to say about President Obama. President Barack Obama will always be my president. He, I don't care, nobody say, he put health care in place. Now, Donald Trump tried to mess up everything President Obama did, but President Barack Obama put health care in place. He did do it for everybody.
He tried.
I don't know
he
if
did.
It's still in effect, and I know Donald Trump tried to mess it up, but God bless Barack Obama for doing that. And it's really a God-given right, that everybody has health care. That's a must. Even, and what I learned about Barack Obama, even people that were homeless on the street, and they could go to anywhere, to any hospital, and get treated for pneumonia or whatever.
Yes.
You know, and you know, it's really sad. So, replenished Barack Obama's
yes, ma'am.
she did a wonderful
yes, thing. Ma'am.
The method thing that man did. When we would ask him just questions, you know, my doctor is at Highland Hospital. Highland Hospital is a county hospital, and we have the best doctor there, primary doctor there. You know, and you know, you're supposed to ask your primary care, physician, any questions that's bothering you, anything that's bothering you, you're supposed to ask, you know, you're supposed to ask questions. So I think it's a God-given right for everybody to have health care, because you just don't know what happened. Even children, we have to take care of children. And it's really sad. You go to a hospital, I mean, you be half dead and bleeding to death. The people talking about, did you have insurance? Come on now, come on.
I know that's right, Brother Matthew.
You know,
Lord
Jesus. It's sad. They're there to help people get well and there to help save lives. I mean, come on.
I know. Amen. All right, we're going to move it along, and we're going to go to 510-6942. Come on in the room, beloved.
Hello, everybody. This is Marco Akil, and I'd like to start off by saying my brother's doing well because of the prayers of the righteous. And I really appreciate everyone that prayed for him. But even he, now he has Kaiser in his family, but he's been in a hospital in the last year about four times, and they let him out, you know. Then he had to come back and let it, you know. But the problem with healthcare in America, you can't have healthcare with a for-profit, you know, because you decide. It's not like a car. You can choose your mechanic. It's your life.
That's right.
So when you said that people are over a barrel, they are the ones especially that don't have the funds, and people have lost their homes, even people who had good jobs because, you know, operation costs millions of dollars and stuff like that, and they have to soak their homes. But yet we have countries in the north of us, Canada has universal health care. Now, when Matt T was talking about Obama, that's exactly what he was trying to get. Just like we pay Social Security. Because if it's for profit, there's going to always be an incentive to have corruption on every level.
Yes.
And America has an economy. It's unbelievable. We're one-fourth of the world's economy. We have a $23 trillion economy every year. We spend more on defense than we do on our social services and everything else that people need. And some of those weapons are millions of dollars, and they become a bust. And what are we doing?
Come on, brother. Tell the truth.
So, you know, what I think, we should pray, but we also have to be activists and inform everybody, because what we saw in this last election, it brought a lot of things out of the closet. And it brought a lot of racism and a lot of what I call classism as well. And then
classism, that's exactly what it is.
And people die. You know, they don't care.
People are dying.
Right, so we need to organize, and also not just to protest, but to educate people. About
educate, vote,
you know, and how this health care should be universal. I mean, you know, we pay for everything else. And that would take the profit. You know, so that's my little two cents about it. But the Lord.
Oh, and it was good. I thank you for that. That was phenomenal. Thank you, my brother, because you told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You are absolutely right. And you know, it really is a sad proposition, you know. So we're gonna but we're gonna keep it moving, and we're gonna now go to down to the Holloways, and then I'm going to give it over to Deacon Bradley.
God bless you. Bishop, my heart went out to what you had gone through. We thank God for bringing you through that. And
yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Of when Apostle was sick 2-3 years ago, when we had to go to the regular hospital instead of the VA, we use the VA now. But when we went to the ER, the doctor gave him a prescription, and when we went to get it filled, at first the lady said, it's $700, and we looked at each other, we was like, what? And she said, well, I'll get my, her supervisor. The supervisor looked it up and said, well, that was wrong. This is $1,500. And so we just took it back. But anyway, God is good. We didn't buy it. We didn't have to buy it. We took it to the VA. And, of course, with Apostle being a veteran, they did fill it out for him. And so I don't remember how much it was paid for, but it used $8 or $9 for the medicine. But God worked it out, but we really have to be aware of what's going on. We had a sister quickly who was in our ministry, and she was working temporary at a big hospital. And she told us that when she went inside, she was doing clerical or administrative. But she says, when you're over a certain age, like you're older than 60, 65, there are certain things that they will flag your file.
Yes.
And certain things they won't do for you. They'll just let you go. It's like we're not even important anymore. So don't do this procedure because, you know, they're spending too much money on the elderly. They're almost going to go. Let them go. And that's what they do. She said it was marked in there. So we really have to be aware and keep our eyes open, to know the truth and to pray. Pray and believe God. Here's the prophet.
Yes, thank you, prophetess.
You're welcome.
God bless you, ma'am.
Scripture says we shall know the truth and the truth shall make us free. He that God has made free, free indeed. In other words, we have to know what's going on. We have to be aware of what's going on. I know myself being a veteran going to the VA, you still have to. Before I was given a percentage disability, we had to pay, and we had to pay even to go to the ER, we had to pay, they charged us $50. And they charged us for $7 or $8 for medicine. But now that I've got a percentage benefit, I don't have to pay anything. But I went, had a procedure that was to be done, and the doctor said, they found that you had blood, you had a certain blood in my urine, and he wanted to do this procedure, and I said no. I said they didn't. I went to the ER. They said no, there wasn't any blood in my urine. Well, we got to do this procedure, and I tell you, I tried my best. Tried my best to stop him from doing the procedure. The procedure went through, and during the procedure, I was in pain. But I complained. I went and made a complaint. That doctor's no longer, he retired real quick.
All right.
And,
amen.
And the doctor that took over, he was very afraid. When he came in for my checkup, he was very afraid. He was nervous. But we have to be very careful and know what's going on. We have to, yes, you may have to go to get a second opinion. But you whatever's going on with you, look online. Go, if you can go on the website and Google up what's going on and see what the symptoms are, what medicine that would cure, or what you can do herbally. You have to take charge of yourself. So, yes, Germany has healthcare, as well as Canada. So they're trying to get it here, but, you know, there's folks of opposition that don't want to do it. So we just have to continue to pray and believe God and trust God and be advocates for each other. All right.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. That was great. Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to Deacon Bradley. Good evening,
yes,
sir. God bless you.
Yes, I am so happy, and I don't know if you really know how good it is for this program tonight, because we all have medical problems.
Yes.
If we don't have it, thank God, but keep living. It's two places, Bishop Cook, that I look for joy and satisfaction and relaxation and everything with joy. That's at the church and at the doctor's office.
Okay.
And if I can't get it there, I just go back to prayer.
Amen.
Everybody seems to be mad these days.
Come on.
Yeah, I it just hurts me to my heart when the ones that are working, it can be two people, they'll stop serving you and start talking about last night or yesterday evening, you know, and you're you're standing there waiting, and that just hurts me. Take care of the business of the people, then discuss your other discussion.
Yeah, on your lunch.
On your what? So this program is really touching hearts, and to God glory. It needs to be said and done, and I'm glad the men are here tonight to hear this. And you have enlightened a lot of us tonight as to how to take care of this medical business. I don't have much to say about the doctor. I've been with my doctor about 45 years. But they wrote me a letter, and now what am I going to say after 45 years? But he's a very good doctor. I think they said pull good or whatever.
Yes, sir.
But they told me to answer it and send it right back in. I don't know what that's all about, but my doctor has been good, and he teaches his nurse, you know, to be kind. Come in. Wait a long time. And we have fun. We talk about the current events. And so that helps today. But everybody seems to be mad. God bless you for the time.
Amen.
God bless
Thank you
all.
No problem, Deacon Bradley. We love you so much, and we always cherish your
Thank
comments.
You
know, and what you said is so important. It just seems like people just don't believe in customer service. I don't care, Mr. Healthcare System, if it wasn't for sick people, we wouldn't need you. So you would want to treat us with dignity and respect, and the respect that we are due.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. So we're going to keep it moving, because I know that I just want to tell you, because see, I just moved back to my home state of Missouri. I had a doctor's appointment the other day. It was pouring down rain, thanks to God. I was hurting bad. The leg was thumping. The arthritis was a squeezing, and I wasn't feeling real good. I had an 11 o'clock appointment. I got there at 10:15, soaking wet. I sit down. I check in and I sit down. I see, after I came in, two white ladies came in. One said she had an 11 o'clock appointment, and one said she had an 11:30 appointment with the same doctor I had. I've been there since 10:15. 11 o'clock came. Do you know that nurse walked out there and called them two white women first? And do you know what Bishop Cook did? I'm going to tell you what Bishop Cook did. I was, you know, that was a teachable moment. That was an opportunity to let the healthcare system know that all of us are not crazy. We
right.
are not uneducated.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how to articulate.
Mm-hmm.
So when the other nurse, she saw my face, because I kind of looked like, what? She saw my face. And she was like, ma'am, I don't know what's wrong with her. I don't know why she was confused. I said, sweetheart, there was no confusion there. It was merely racism.
Mm-hmm.
She said, oh, would you like for me to go get my supervisor? I said, sure, go get your supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
Went and got the supervisor. I told, this is what I did, y'all. In my best, sweetest, and most angelic voice, as my younger sister said earlier, I said, ma'am, I had an 11 o'clock appointment. I've been here since 10:15.
Oh,
I said, I just observed one of your nurses call in two people that I heard with my own ears say they had appointments after mine with the same doctor. Now, I said, ma'am, it could have very well been an oversight. But sitting from where I'm sitting, I don't really have a lot of faith in this office. I said, because you see, when it comes to health care, you have to thrive on my faith or my perception that you can take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And to have an episode like this in 2021 is unacceptable and it's inexcusable. And since we're sitting in the Bible Belt, it's just downright unchristlike. And I will take my business somewhere else. She said, we want to take this to the administrator. Well, is there anything else we could do? I said, no, ma'am. Short of taking one of those ladies out of the room back there and putting me in it, no, there's nothing that you can do for me. She said, we want your card. Thanks to God, did you know how good it felt to hand that woman that card that said Spirit Alive Global Christian Podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Shirley Cook, Spirit Alive Global Christian Podcast.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
and I turned around and said, I watched her look face. I'm not going to lie. It was kind of funny. But I literally watched her face drop.
Yeah.
And I turned around and said, have a blessed day. I walked out. You know, in my spirit, I feel like that was a drop the mic moment right there. But I let her know, you know, we're not going to stand up and take this mistreatment anymore. You know, this is 2021. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets to get health care up around here.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my experience just last week. But, you know, like I said, it just goes to speak to the mentality of the people that they're using, of everything. You know, they're not customer service driven. They want to treat you. And, you know, nothing, I lived in California for years, for over 44 years, and nothing made me madder than to see, you know, my Filipino sisters and brothers standing at a desk speaking Filipino when you standing there waiting to ask them a question.
Yeah, still going on.
It's called customer service hospitals. Thank you very much. Now, I'm going to slide on down here to Apostle Zeta Flowers, and then I'm going to go on to Pastor Scott, because I know they have a few words they might like to add, too. Amen.
Amen.
Come on in the room, Apostle Zeta.
Hello, and God bless you all. Another interesting topic. Well shared, and all of those things that we heard tonight, we just need to have them, keep them in practice. Have
yeah,
faith.
And keep them in prayer.
Pray. I'm getting
yes,
to that.
Yes, ma'am.
To pray and believe
yes, ma'am.
God
yes,
for
ma'am.
Our care
Hallelujah.
And our help, whether we have insurance or not. I remember when I was diagnosed years ago with cancer, I had the best policy, and my surgery was going to be done at Stanford University Hospital in Palo Alto, but then I was healed. I praise God.
Hallelujah.
But then when I came to Oakland, I no longer had any insurance at all.
Lord.
And I was stricken again. And and I had no insurance. At that time, I knew nothing about the hospitals here, the clinics here. I didn't have a doctor here, nothing. And, in fact, I didn't have a doctor, period, because when I was on the peninsula and I had the good insurance, I ended up actually not even needing to use it. But then when I came here later on, was stricken again, it was the same situation, but I had to really believe and trust God and have faith that he did it before and he would do it again.
So
I was truly blessed. I was truly blessed. But I have seen so many people go through situations not having insurance and not being able to be seen, or having to go to emergency.
Yes.
They shouldn't have had to go to emergency, and the cost is triple, if not more.
Yes.
If you go to the emergency room, but sometimes people have to go there in order just to be seen, because if it's a dire emergency, they can't turn you away.
That's
right. But for other things that might be urgent but not necessarily an emergency, they'll turn you away if you don't have insurance. So this topic was very enlightening, and I believe that it would stir those of us that have listened to it to continue to even if it has nothing to do with ourselves, but be concerned with other people in these situations where they cannot be served. So that's why I am trying to help other people. I actually missed being on with you all last Wednesday because I was trying to work with a young lady that has a little daughter, 6 years old, that had gotten bit by a dog. And I was checking with her about her insurance. And I finally just said, go straight to emergency.
That's right.
They can't turn her away. Tell them what happened, that a dog bit her, and you don't know whether the dog had rabies or not, and she needs to be seen immediately. So that's what
Amen.
She did. So that's
good.
Right. That's what we have to do. Look out for others as well. Amen.
Amen, Mother Apostle. Thank you so much. I just love her. I love all my
You're
family,
welcome.
Though. I don't make a secret out of it. You know what I'm saying? Call me whatever. I just call me Sister Love. I love everybody. Hallelujah. All right. Especially this man right here, my little brother. Lord Jesus, come on in the room, Pastor Jeffrey. You've been so patient.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you for this much-needed topic. I think, you guys hit all of the points that were very necessary, because of the simple fact that we don't know and we don't investigate. We spend more time picking out clothes and cars than we do doctors.
For that.
We spend more time because what we do is we go to a hospital and we accept the doctor that we are
they give
given,
it. Mm-hmm.
Not the one that
mm-hmm.
we have chosen, but the one that we have given as if they're the only ones that can do what is supposed to be done for us. When I say for us, I mean that we are supposed to be served by the doctor because they are supposed to be treating us. They're supposed to be treating us, and what happens is, God says, my people perish for what? Not lack of knowledge. If we don't know that the doctor is supposed to be treating us, we're going to be treated like we're working for the doctor, and the doctor is just a benefit, a beneficiary for us coming in. In other words, we're nothing but a paycheck. That's what they
Come
were
on.
Looking at. So what happens if we lack the knowledge that we are supposed to have, then we're not going to understand how to deal in these circumstances. Like when Bishop had her circumstance, she dealt with it the way God wanted her to, the way that was the right way. She didn't put anybody down, but she brought up the situation that was at hand, that she was that she wasn't being treated in the way that she
right,
should have
no.
been treated. So
yes,
we have
sir.
To first start off with that. We have to first start off knowing that we have some sort of say-so over what goes on with
come on, bro.
Yes.
Treated as God wants, and we're going to treat it the way God wants us to, and we're not going to accept what anyone says or does to us, but we're going to let them understand that, hey, there is a higher caller than yours. There is all questions. So what you're saying is just your opinion. So continue to keep practicing on what you're practicing on, but I'm going to the one who's the professional of healing.
So we've got the plan.
Come on now.
Yeah. Man with the plan. I'm calling Jesus, my rock.
We understand we can learn to live and live by faith in the power that God has over
mm-hmm.
our lives. Don't give him the power over our lives. Understand that we need to have the knowledge, and we have to learn about the things that are going on with our bodies,
and
will give us the insight that we need, and we can talk to each other and open up. And one more thing is that we really need to get away from this point of not sharing things that are happening
Come
in
on.
Our bodies.
All right.
What I'm going through may help somebody else. What my body is feeling may help somebody else. And if I keep quiet about it, that may take somebody else's life out because they have a lack of knowledge, not because they didn't
Come
want to
on.
Know, but because I didn't have my issues with them. So it all
Hallelujah.
And the kids, you got to understand that we have to work together. So we got to talk to each other. We have to build each other up. We have to give mm-hmm. each other information. If I don't know, I pray that somebody tells me. If you don't know, I pray that God gives me the ability and the knowledge to tell you something. So we need to work together. We have to get what God wants us to get. And the way we have to do much prayer, we have to do much much learning, and we have to do much listening and connecting with God. Amen.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. See, that's why I love doing these programs because, see, I know when my sister and I, we do these programs, the family comes together, we circle the wagons, and we tell it like it T.I. is. You know what I'm saying? We are one body in Christ. I just watched the Holy Spirit move from heart to heart, breast to breast. Every round went higher and higher. The information came out. What we have to do is hear me and understand. You see, when I dealt with them people, I'm gonna tell y'all the truth. I wasn't even tripping it for a second on being a black woman. See, I was upset because I'm a child of God.
Amen.
And my father says, you have to treat me with dignity. Father says, if I come to you for help, you have to take care of me and take care of that oath that you promised. Because, see, any oath that you take, they took that oath to God just like we take their marriage vows. See, they get married to weddings like we get married to Jesus. See what I'm saying? I mean, to medicine like we get married to Jesus, see?
Yeah.
And we got to understand, we have a right to medical health. Help.
Mm-hmm.
We have a right.
Mm-hmm.
A right as a human being to have health care. And we do not have to be outpriced. We have the right to ask questions. Do I need this procedure? Why do I need this procedure?
Mm-hmm.
So many doctors today, they act like they're mad. They get mad if you ask for a second opinion. They get mad if you ask them a question. Well, I'm saying you, the doctor, I'm supposed to ask you questions so I can understand what's going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You know, now anytime you want to give me your country club membership, your mansion and all your millions, I can sit up and play doctor on myself all day. But I'm coming to you as a professional.
Oh, good, Sister Cook.
Yes, I'm coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to help us. We should not be dying because you don't want to be bothered. Our little procedure doesn't bring in the dollars that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
We are human beings. We are not your profit. We are not your paychecks. We are people of God.
Yes.
And you have made a vow to God to be his instrument of healing,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Of comfort. You are not supposed to make money off of the misery of other people. Yeah, I'm talking to all them hospitals with names like St. Francis and St. Barnabas. All of y'all know better. You know better. Stop treating our elders like they just need to be sent home and wait to die. See, I can talk about that too. Because, see, I had a husband, a wonderful man. And I watched the hospital prescribe this man morphine, Narcos, Vicodin, Restoril, all at the same time. And I'm saying, hold up, wait a minute. All of these are opiates. Are you trying to kill him? Well, they said, well, ma'am, he's already addicted. Yeah. You know what? You want to try living with an addicted person? Well, ma'am, I don't want to hear it. I watched what they did to my husband. I believe they killed my husband. I'm always going to believe that because they did not want to deal with what was going on with him. They wanted to just give him pills so he could go home and be quiet.
My Lord.
So, see, everything, the reason I am a servant leader for the whole man is because I deal with things. And as I deal with things, if I had to deal with it, I figure my brothers and sisters are dealing with it too.
Yes, indeed.
And I want to let somebody know you're not the only one.
Yeah.
We need to do what Brother said. We need to do more than pray. We need to do more than protest. See, we need to raise our vote.
Yeah.
Because that's our voice. We need to be in those rooms when the policies are being made. Anytime that there's a public forum about health care, we need to be sitting up in there listening to what they're talking about.
Yes.
We need to do our due diligence so that we can effectively pray about these things. So we can really go to God because we really know what's going on. And then the more we know, the more we'll grow. And the more we grow, the better we can navigate through this system called health care. Because they are trying to make it as diluted and as confusing as possible. They're getting paid more money, but they're giving us less service.
Yeah.
And I know that God is not pleased. And like I said, just because they are a principality does not mean that we don't, as children of God, are not supposed to deal with them on God's level. If we living in his word, walking in his word, we know his favor is upon us. We're not going to go up in no hospital with our head out down. Well, our head might be down if we hurting bad enough. But we're not going to go down there with our spirit bowed down like we're not worthy to be there. Oh, please, please help me. No. You going to take my Medicaid card and my Humana card, and you going to tell me what's going on with me. And if you can't do it, I'm going to go find somebody that can.
Right.
Because my God said so. because he's watching everything you do. Because if you ain't the right one, he'll direct me to the one that's right. Amen. So thanks to God, we got like my brothers and sisters have been saying to you all night, we have to, you know, stay in the Lord. We have to stay in prayer. We have to keep up, do our due diligence. I love what Apostle Holloway said, you know what your medications are. Know how they interact with one another. Because, see, I'm not real sure that they're not setting us up for some stuff. You know what I'm saying? So check your medications. See how they – look, because, see, if they're principalities – that means they're not necessarily of God. So if they're not of God, you know who they of. So guess what? We got to deal with them like we deal with Satan on any other level.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Okay?
Yes, Lord.
So I just want us to know, you know, the more we know, the more we can share, and we should not be ashamed. You know what I'm saying? I'm older. I've got aches. I've got pains. Am I complaining? No. But I'm just letting people know we do need health care as we get older. This is not the time for them to start getting slack with the health care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not the time. When children are when they're young, this is the time that they need their shots. They need to be watched. They need a pediatrician. Mothers want to make sure their babies are growing healthy. And you know, but they're constantly closing clinics
mm-hmm.
where a lot of these mothers would go.
Mm-hmm.
And they're replacing them with for-profit urgent cares and dialysis centers.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, after they get us at the hospital or the doctor's office, then they can get some of us again because we got to go somewhere else like a dialysis center or you know, we've got to go to a physical therapist, and then they get us again.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
So it's like, you know, and now, you know, you put your card up there and you're finding out that it covers less and less and less. Mm-hmm. That's why, as I said, saints of God, we can't lean to our own understanding and mm-hmm. all our ways. We have to acknowledge the Father so that he can direct our path. So I just thank everybody. Everybody was phenomenal. To my beautiful sister and co-host, I just love you, and I just love the way we flow together. I love the way the Spirit Alive family and the Good Shepherd family, just we all just flow. I just love it, and that's the way God loves it.
Yes, Lord.
Because we are one body in Christ, and I want people to – I love the fact that people can hear our unity. You know, there's no egos here. There's no big eyes or little U's. We're a family. That's it.
Yes.
We're just family.
Thank you.
We're family
Thank
that love
you.
The Lord. We're
yes,
family
Lord.
That love each other enough to try to educate one another, help each other,
mm-hmm.
give each other tips and, you know, just
yes.
bless the Lord. That's what edification is. You
mm.
know, we some of us get so spiritual, we know earthly good.
That's right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to understand we live in the real world. We're living in this world. We're not of it, but we're in it.
In it.
And we've got to live in it, and we've got to navigate in it, and we've got to navigate in it in a godly way through prayer, supplication, through being responsible and accountable ourselves, doing our due diligence to educate, doing our due diligence to make sure that, you know, we're doing all that we can. All that we can. It's not enough to sit up and just talk about it. We have to be about it.
Yes.
So right now, I feel led to just end this program because we have some time left. So I just want to end this program, and I'm going to ask a few people to pray because we just need prayer. I just feel led to pray because, yes, it's in my heart. It's in my spirit. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come as your family before your throne of grace. Just praising you and honoring you and glorifying you. We thank you, Father God, that we live, we move, and we have our very being in you. Now,
yes.
Lord God, we just pray right now for the health care system.
Yes.
Father, we would just pray that they would begin to remember what they're all about.
Yes.
It should be about people, Father God, and not about profit. I pray in the name of Jesus for the doctors and nurses, Father God, that they would allow you to fill their heart with compassion.
Yes.
That they would allow you to fill their hearts with mercy. That
yes.
you would give them a hunger and a dedication to the vocation to which they have professed that they have been called and
yes.
they have been equipped to do.
Yes.
So, Lord God, I pray that they would learn to treat all people with dignity, no matter the color, no matter what class. But, Lord God, they would treat us as you would have them to treat your people. I
yes.
pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, for the
yes.
government and the lobbyists. We pray, Lord, against that spirit of greed, Lord God. We pray,
yes.
Lord, against that spirit of capitalism. We pray, Lord, against any spirit, Lord God, that comes against your people and causes them
yes.
to perform in a way other than it's pleasing to you.
Yes.
And Father God, I'm right now praying in the name of Jesus for the many
yes.
people that can get health care, for the many people that were turned away. Father God, I
yes.
praise you because I know that even if they were turned away, you had the power to heal them, Lord. You had the power to save them. And Lord God, I believe that you did for many. And Lord, we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you that in spite of what the doctors say, in spite of what the doctors do, you are our divine healer. You heal us in mind, body, and spirit, Father
yes.
God. You help us to stand, Lord God, in these troubled times. You help us to stand, Father God, in the face of adversity. You help us to stand, Father God, in the face of racism. You help us to stand, Father God, in the face of classism. And, Lord, we will demonstrate your love. We will impart your wisdom. We will speak your knowledge, Father God, into
yeah.
every situation.
Oh, Lord.
Because we want them to know that they may be a doctor.
Yes.
But it is you who is our healer and our God.
Yes.
And, Lord, I want to thank you for the men and women here tonight that have the courage to open up their voices and to share and to encourage.
Yes.
I praise you, Father God, that you have used them mightily as
yes.
your instruments on tonight to bless your people with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yes.
Father God, I just want to thank you for
yes.
them one and all. Thank
yes.
you for their humility, God. Thank
yes.
you for their obedience, oh God.
Yes.
Thank you for their love, oh God. And
yes.
I just give you the honor and the glory and all the praise.
Yes.
And I am going to pass the baton to Deacon Bradley.
Thank you. Father God, we come, Lord, at this desperate time. Lord, we need you, Lord. We need to hear a word from you, Lord. We need your help, Lord. Jehovah Jireh is my provider. Lord, you ought to come by this radio program tonight. It's some hearts that need blessing tonight, Lord. You are able, Lord. You are the Father of 10,000, Lord, and you know the way of life. And teach us, oh Lord, how to come
Lord.
Back to you this evening.
Yes,
come
Lord.
Back with an open heart and an open
yes,
mind.
Yes, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we need you. We
yes,
need you, Lord, at the midnight hour. We
yes,
need you
God.
Early in the morning. You
yes,
ought to
God.
Come by, Lord. Somebody
yes.
is waiting,
yes,
Lord, to hear from you tonight, Lord. Bless the souls that are on this line right now,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
Give them a double proportion. Lord,
all right.
Make them well again. Lord, if they are hungry, feed them, Lord.
Yes,
that
yes
they,
Lord.
no more. Lord, feed them with grace. Feed them with mercy. Feed them with understanding. Touch somebody, Heavenly Father. You are the fix-it man. You specialize in broken and lonely hearts. You ought to touch some hearts tonight, Lord. Come on by, Lord. Come on by. Touch my home tonight. Touch everyone's home that's under the sound of my weak voice. Lord, you're able. You are the good shepherd, Lord. Thank you and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Brother 6942, come on in the room.
Hi. I would just like to say I really enjoyed the program. I did have a problem. I'm a type member. I did have a problem. At this time, I'm blind in Paris. But I had a problem with a doctor that was prescribing the medicine I need to take. He told me I couldn't afford it. He went and prescribed it for me. And at that time, I just didn't know what to do about it. But praise God, there were some good doctors, Asian doctors. They're very good. They take good care of me. So thank God, and thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's all right. See, that's what I'm talking about. When you just encourage people. See, you prayed that up, Deacon Bradley. You prayed that up. You prayed that all up, see. You prayed that all up. See, that's what we do. That's what we do. We doing what Pastor Jeffrey said. You know, we touching and agreeing. We helping each other. You prayed that on up. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. I'm going to get a few more prayers because I know we got about 20 minutes maybe, and I want to get a few more prayers from a few more people because we need to put a prayer and a praise on it. I praise God that we've got people that's not ashamed of the gospel. I praise God that we've got people that's not ashamed to tell it like it is. I praise God that we can come together as a family and do it. Hallelujah. Because I believe that there is power in our unity. I believe that with everything in my heart. And right now, speaking of my heart, if there is someone listening to us tonight and you are truly sick in your mind, in your body, or in your spirit, and you don't know Jesus, let me introduce you to him. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, and the living water. He is our bread of life, our Redeemer, our Lord, and our Savior, our all in all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, we just want to thank you for being all of that.
Yes,
and all
Lord.
You have to do, hallelujah, to begin your very own personal healing process is to give your life to him. Hallelujah.
Yes,
see, if you want to be healed, you got to be connected to the healer.
Yes.
And you don't have to go into no pomp and circumstance and get all dressed up and fancy or go to a church. No, you can drop right now.
Yeah.
You can just stop what you're doing right now. And
yes,
you can just
Lord.
Tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, look, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. And then you tell him, for I believe that you're the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
And then you ask him to come into your life and save you.
Yeah.
And then you put that stamp on it, my friend. You say, in your holy name I pray, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. And guess what? Oh, and then once you do that, my brother, my sister, you better stand back, plant your feet, and get ready for the healing because it's coming. Oh,
it's
hallelujah.
Coming.
Let me tell you, the first form of healing you're going to get is in the form of salvation. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get some healing in the form of grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Joy and peace. Hallelujah. Redemption. Forgiveness. Hallelujah. You're going to get some
hallelujah.
Healing like you ain't never been healed before.
Yes.
And if your body is sick, he'll heal that too. Because
yes.
He can do all things but fail.
Yeah.
So you
Hallelujah.
Need to be connected to the healer.
Yes.
In order for you to navigate, like you heard all these mighty saints up in here say tonight, you've got to be following the one that knows the way.
Yes.
That's Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to get another prayer. Hallelujah. I think I want, the Spirit is leading for me to ask Pastor Jeffrey to come on in the room, and that's going to be followed by, it's the men. Amen. Hallelujah. Then that will be followed by Apostle Edwin. So, Pastor Jeffrey, come on in the room.
Amen. Amen.
And
let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you thanking you for this day. We thank you for this topic. We thank you for all of the things that were said. We thank you for the encouragement. We thank you for the enlightenment.
Yeah.
We thank you for all of those that have shared their experiences, Father God. We
yes,
thank
Lord.
You because this is a time that we need to open up, Father God. We need to open
yeah.
up to you. And, Father God, we need to open up and allow people to learn from our experience, Father God. That's why you gave us a testimony. You throughout all of this time, Father God, so others and ourselves can learn from our testimony. And, Father
yes,
God,
Lord.
We just ask that you strengthen us to give us the courage to step out on faith, to stand up and tell our testimony. No matter what it is, Father God, where you have brought us from, where you have
yes,
brought us from, where you have
yes.
lifted us up from, Father God. We
yes,
know that we struggle sometimes because we want to be private and we want to hold things to ourselves, but sometimes
Come on.
Others cannot learn from
yes,
what we
Lord.
Have been through. If we Pray, hold
Pastor.
On to our testimony, Father God, and we don't share it so others can grow, Father God,
yeah.
pray, just touch all of these all of the ones that are in situations with hospitals and doctors, Father God, that where it seems unbearable and it seems like the doctors aren't listening and it seems like the forms aren't being filled out right and it seems like just something is always holding back. Father God, I ask that you just step in right now. I ask that you intervene right now, that you fix those situations, Father God. There are those that have done all that they could, and they're standing right now, Father God. Then they may be standing on your word, Father God, and we
yeah.
know that your word is back void, Father God. And we ask that you just move in a way that you can move,
yeah.
Father God. You can
yes,
turn things
sir.
Around in this medical system, Father God. You can move to a way that,
yes.
that makes everything work out the way that you called it to work out, Father God. We ask
yeah.
that you just
Hallelujah.
Those the strength to carry on, Father God. We know that there
yes,
are situations where people are going through different illnesses and different things in their bodies, Father God, and they need encouragement to keep going on because
yeah.
they know that
yes, Lord, touch
that
Jesus.
You healing, Father God, within,
Aim
within
of Jesus.
You, encouragement, Father God, within you
we
is everything
the
that
blood,
they need
Lord.
To make it to that next
yes,
step,
Lord,
Father
Jesus.
God. And we ask that you just give them strength from on high.
Yes,
from
Lord.
On high, that they can continue to make it the way that you have called them to make it, with faith in you, Father God. We just ask that you be with those that are just troubled in spirit right now, Father
yes,
God.
Yes, Jesus.
Situations, don't know what to do, that they can stand up and
yes, Lord,
help
Jesus.
In some kind of way, Father
yes,
God.
Jesus.
Maybe
yeah.
or just befriend somebody, touch somebody's life like the soul says, touch somebody's life. As
That's
somebody. All right now, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To touch their life, Father God.
And praise.
Lift up those that are struggling with illnesses, Father God, that you heal
yeah.
hearts that need strengthening. Heal lungs, Father God, that need strengthening. Heal kidneys that need strengthening, Father
yeah.
God.
All right now, brother, come on.
Father God, heal torn muscles, Father God, that need strengthening, Father God. Your bones that may have been broken, Father God. We need you right now to do these
things. Lord Jesus.
We need you to heal, Father God. We need you to just show up in a way that only you can, Father God.
So yeah.
Yes, sir.
You can love, you can understand who.
Yes, sir.
We just thank you right now. We
thank
you,
Jesus.
We
yes, we do, Lord.
To your name, because you're worthy of the highest praise, Father God.
Yes.
We just continue to lift you up. You're worthy, Father God. You're worthy.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank
amen.
You, Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Apostle Edwin Holloway, close us now in prayer.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, God of heaven, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the great I am, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, God, we thank you. We thank you for this evening
thank you, Lord.
Program.
Lord.
We thank you that somebody heard, somebody got saved, somebody got delivered, somebody got set free.
Father
God. Father God, we know that you're the great I am. For God said that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. We are healed, but the old
we're healed tonight.
So,
God, we decree and declare healing over the broadcast. So, God, we decree and declare that everybody with the sound of our voice, God, you are in the process of the way of healing. God, in the name of Jesus, and God,
in the name of Jesus.
That was saved tonight, God.
That's
we thank you, oh God, for the broadcast all around the world, God. In the name of
Lord.
Jesus, God, we thank you. We give you the praise. We give you the glory and honor, God. We thank you, oh God, for all the participants, oh God. We thank you, oh God.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
You said, God, where two or three are gathered in your name,
that
you be in the midst. So, I thank you for stretching out your hand, stretching out your arm to the people, oh God, that are wanting to be saved. Those that are thinking about being saved, God. You prick their hearts, oh God, that they may come to you.
Yes, Lord.
God,
please,
what Bishop Cook said, all you got to do is come to Jesus. Do no fancy thing. So, Father God, we thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
What you've done and what you're going to do in the name of Jesus. So, God,
name of Jesus.
Thank you, God, for the people. And, oh God, we thank you that we were able to shed some light.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And Father God, we just want to give you all the praise. We want to give you all the glory as we close. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hold on. There's no name sweeter than the name Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We have had a visitation on the night. And see, saints of God, this is just evidence that God is concerned about the whole man.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he showed
yeah.
up
yeah.
and he made his presence known.
Yes, Lord.
If God is a healer, why would he want us to be sick?
Yeah.
If God is a healer, why wouldn't he want us?
Well, yes.
To do our due diligence to take care of our bodies.
Yeah.
We are in his perfect will
by
demanding that we have more than adequate health care our children and our seniors and all of us can be the healthy citizens that we need to be in order to run the race for Jesus.
God
can't use no broke down soldiers, saints of God. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I know God does. There's somebody that's going to be within the sound of our voice. that you have been sitting and saying you don't know, you know, you just cannot go to a doctor. You just cannot afford a doctor. I'm telling you, stand up on your face.
Yeah.
And you get yourself to a county, a state, you get yourself to some kind of doctor.
Yes, indeed.
All you have to do is stand up on your face.
Right.
And walk to that doctor.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, my brother and sister, you will die if you don't. God has not given us a spirit of fear.
No.
So
Amen.
Go. So go. Take care of yourselves. Don't be afraid. Don't let the lack of insurance stop you. Every hospital has to see so many people that don't have no money. You just demand that you be one of those people. That's all.
Amen.
So we just praise God, and I praise God for each and every person here. Oh, Lord, I want to thank all my good, the Good Shepherd family, Mother Matt T, Mother Givens, Deacon Bradley, all of that, and of course, the Spirit Alive family, the brother that spoke earlier, everybody. You are phenomenal.
Yeah.
You are mighty warriors of God, and I want to thank you for just coming together with myself and Evangelist Michelle tonight to get the message out that, you know, and give us a better understanding as how we should, what we should be looking for and how we can navigate through this healthcare system that has decided they are more concerned with profit than patients. So God bless you. Know that
God
we love you. We pray that you continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Join us tomorrow with Prophetess Vanessa Carver for Wounded No More on Friday. Hear that Holy Ghost filled man, Pastor Jeffrey Scott, coming. He'll be coming at you live and in living color. Hallelujah, with every man standing in his place. So we just praise God for everything that God is doing in us, through us, and for us. And we pray that you have been blessed as well. So on behalf of all of us here at the Spirit Alive family, the Good Shepherd family, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from your house, our household, to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you continue to be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you, everybody. We love you. Good night.
Amen.
Good night.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.